Good morning from Sally Rock Point, again here at Goddard Park. You know, last week I told you why I wanted us to be out here this month at this spot. And it's because this month we're talking about shortcuts, those ways that we at times will try to get the treasure without doing the work. We're like pirates. And there are times that we are like pirates in the way that we approach even our relationship with God, even in the way that we go at our spiritual life. We try and get God's blessing. We try and get the kingdom, that treasure that he says is buried in that field, without actually doing the work, without buying the field or digging up the treasure. And you say, well, okay, so why this place? Well, because right behind me is a shortcut. It's a shortcut that I take regularly. When it's low tide like it is today, there's a point out on this peninsula that I can make my way around, and it's about 3 to 4 minutes from this point to my house. Now, when it's like last week, when it's high tide, I can't even get around that point. And what that makes this is this becomes one of the furthest points in the park from my house. It easily doubles or even triples the time it takes to get home from this place. So that shortcut becomes a shortcut that's not a shortcut at all. You know, there's a verse in the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11, and it says this. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, used to think like a child, I used to reason like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. You know, there are ways that Jesus says, and he tells us that to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to become like children. We need to become like children in the way that we trust. We need to become like children in the way we believe what he says. We need to become like children in the way that we humble ourselves and we're able to learn from him. But there are other ways that we need to grow up. We need to put aside childish things. And we need to grow into a new kind of spiritual maturity in how we act and how we think and how we live, how we talk. We don't need to keep speaking out of ignorance or speaking out of raw emotion like children do. We don't need to keep thinking along lines that are faulty or untrue or just pure fantasy sometimes that we make up. We don't need to keep basing our reasoning on shaky grounds or on unfounded thoughts. That's what children do. And that's also what we do at times in our spiritual lives. Now, don't get me wrong. We all start out as spiritual babies. That's absolutely true, but we're not supposed to stay there. We're supposed to put childish things aside and grow up. And one of those things that we need to put aside is sometimes the ways that we look at and even at times try to defend those shortcuts that we take, those spiritual shortcuts that we try to take in our relationship with God. Because spiritual maturity actually admits and then changes childish behavior, calls it what it is. You know, when I was a child, I remember not liking vegetables too much, especially compared with how I really did like cake and ice cream and candy. I remember not liking having to do my chores, not liking having to clean my room, especially compared to how I really did like playing with my toys, exploring our neighborhood, Or just even going out and going to the park. I remember not liking having to put my money into a savings account and saving it till later, especially compared to how I really did like spending that same money on important things like candy, Legos, more candy, and more Legos. I am so grateful that my parents were smart enough not to go with my plan for my life at that moment in time. But instead, they decided to teach me lessons that I didn't so much learn in my head as they became just ingrained in me. They became just embedded, internalized in my life. Lessons, practices that would later develop into things like responsibility, would develop into things like character, develop into things like good health. You know, when I grew up, what was interesting was I put those childish preferences that I had, that childish thinking, I put it aside. And I actually, I began to think, you know, that even those amazingly, I remember coming up with these deep complex arguments for my parents at the time of how I should be able to do whatever I wanted to do because it was my life and it was my, you know, it was me. I should be able to choose. But as I grew up, I saw that I put those things aside to the point that when I became a parent, I actually found that, wow, I'm kind of surprised at how much my thinking lines up with what my parents taught me. And to the point that I actually worked really hard to pass that wisdom, that same wisdom, onto my kids. Because I found that, no, there was a childish thinking that needed to put it aside. There was a more mature thinking, a longer range thinking. Things that were of deeper value to my life. God's wisdom is the same. He's like that wiser parent who sees those longer range kind of gains, those longer term goals that we need to be aiming at, those things that result in things like godly character, that result in things like true effectiveness in our lives, that result in eternal life. And that's what he's aiming at when he tells us what we need to be doing. You know, the book of Hebrews tells us that even when he brings discipline into our life, and we don't, as children, we never like discipline, but it says even when he brings discipline into our life, it's not because somehow we've offended his honor, but instead it's because he's training us. He's trying to lead us into that better future with our lives that we can experience, that we can know. You know, sometimes I wonder, do we really understand that? Do we understand that even when God's disciplining us, that he's doing it out of this, he is motivated by his love for us. He's not doing it to demoralize us. He's not doing it to destroy us. He's not doing it to prove how bigger and better he is than us, as if that was ever a question. He's doing it instead, motivated, pushed forward, moved by his love. He's doing it to help us grow up so that we'll grow up into his character. We'll grow up into reflecting him so that we reflect his wisdom, but even reflect his kind of greatness through our lives. Do we get that? Because when we don't understand that, that's when we try and take our shortcuts. That's when we try to get the prize, but not do the work. When we try to take our shortcuts and go the way that we want instead of the way that God has called us, especially in those areas of things that we just don't like to do so much. One of those areas that I want to talk about today, that's a critical area, like I said last week, of great potential blessing for us from God, but also great challenge to us, is in how we use our time. You know, God has told us in his word that one day out of seven should be set aside, to stop doing what we normally do, to stop pursuing what we normally pursue, and just rest from that pursuit. In the list of the top 10 things that God gave to his people, and these are the things that he said, you know, if you'll do these 10 things, this will set you apart from all the other nations that are living around you. And in these things, he said things like, stop killing each other. Stop taking stuff that doesn't belong to you, that you haven't worked for. Stop destroying each other's most important networks and most important relationships by sleeping with each other's spouses and breaking trust. Stop doing that. He also gave us a set where he says, you know, don't quit trying to follow a bunch of gods and follow all the things that they say while you're trying to follow me. Just follow me. He said, don't carry my name around like a status symbol without, if it really doesn't mean anything to you. But in those 10, he also said this, honor the Sabbath day. Set it apart as unlike any other day, as special, as dedicated to me. Set it aside as holy, valuable. Isn't it interesting how we take so seriously the rest of the 10 commandments? But when it comes to that one, we just kind of toss it off like, well, he must not, you know, doesn't really mean that. And why do you think that is? I think it's because when God starts talking about Sabbath, he's starting to meddle. He's starting to meddle with stuff that we really think of as ours. You know, I think it's time. Time is a resource that I should be able to use in the way that I choose for my pursuits and for my goals and my objectives, my fun and my life. And I should be able to choose how I use that, when I use that. So sure, I'll give God some of it. You know, I'll give God, an hour on Sunday, as long as I'm not on vacation. I'll give God, you know, maybe some time in the morning. I'll give him a few minutes in the morning where I can read some inspirational stuff, get me going on the right track for the day. I'll give God maybe even time during the week for like one of these community groups or something, as long as I like the people okay in the group. You know, but seriously, a whole day set aside from to just stop doing what I normally do and just rest? That's crazy, right? That's beyond what he should be asking for from me. But that was one of the 10 most important things God could think of that would start to transform our lives, would help us to start reflecting him, reflecting his heart, his intentions in this world. Say, well, how does that begin to reflect God? How does it reflect his heart in any way? It's just giving up your time. Well, let's look at what God actually said. Let's look what he was intending through Sabbath. And let's see if our thinking might be childish in this regard. It might need to be something that is set aside. Let's see if we're actually childish in our thinking rather than being childlike in our trust of what God has called us to. So what is Sabbath? Well, Sabbath is where we take one day out of seven and we set it aside to rest. And what we're going to talk about what that means. Now, to the original Jewish audience who was hearing these words, the Sabbath was that day that begins on Friday night at sunset and it goes to Saturday night at sunset. It was those 24 hours. That was considered the seventh day. So Saturday night to Sunday was actually considered the first day of the week. So the first question that comes up is people would say, well, then can I take Sabbath on Saturday or can I take it on Sunday? Does it have to be Friday night to Saturday night? And I think at this point it's really important to remember one of the things that Jesus told us when he was asked about this very topic. He said, you know, remember the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. This command was given for our benefit, not so that we would be locked into some legalistic kind of practice and observance of some specific day that, and then feel just riddled with guilt when we don't do it right. That wasn't the point. The point was to lead us into blessing, lead us into reflecting his heart. So can you practice Sabbath on Sunday? Absolutely. Is there something to be found in practicing on a Friday night to Saturday night? Yes. That's why he asked us to do it. Does that change if you shift it to a different date? Yeah, because it's not Friday night to Saturday night anymore. So it's going to change. But does that mean that we have to do it in one specific way? No, that's missing the point. Just like I would be missing the point if I took my mom and dad asking me and telling me I needed to eat my vegetables, that meant that I needed to almost in a worshipful way get into a rigid practice of eating certain vegetables every single night, and I had to be guilt-ridden and just feeling like I'd failed them if I didn't eat those vegetables. That misses the point. They wanted me to be healthy. They wanted me to reflect what it meant, the life that humans were supposed to be living. So what is the point? Well, for starters, there's a couple of important reasons why we would want to take a day of Sabbath, why we want to set that aside, why we would want to participate in that. And these line up somewhat with why, if we can, why we would want to try and take that time between Friday night and Saturday night. Begin to experience. Find out what God was asking his people to experience. One is this. Sabbath begins to get us into this rhythm, into a right rhythm with God. Sabbath is where we say to God, okay, yes, it looks like this 24-hour period is a 24-hour period just like any other. And it doesn't matter which one you take, but if we take the one that, you know, that God originally set apart, that Friday to Saturday, and we say, okay, I have that time free, so I'm going to try this in that time period. It looks like any other day, but you have said that instead of, if I will take this, and instead of taking it and investing it in my own benefit, in my own pursuits, if I will take it and use it in the way that you have desired, the way that you've called me, that I will see more accomplished in the 6 days of work that you've given me than I would if I took this seventh day as my own. He says, test me in this one. He says, if you do this, I'll get behind everything you do, every pursuit that you go after. You know, in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He'll lay out the straight path in front of you. He'll get behind us. He'll help us to gain more out of the 6 days that we work than if we would take that as our own. So this is really a trust question. This is a question, am I willing to follow God in the way that he has called me and trust that he knows more about this life than I do? Second, Sabbath, he says, begins to get us into a right relationship, a right rhythm with the whole universe. You know, when you read Genesis, you read the creation account in Genesis, and then when it's in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, the creation account's referred to in this command. And he says, remember that God, when he created the heavens and the earth, he created them in 6 days, and he took the seventh day to rest. So there's this pattern, this rhythm, that's woven into the universe itself. And God says, when we practice Sabbath, that we begin to settle into that rhythm. And when we fail to settle into that rhythm, we think that we're gaining an extra day to get some extra stuff done. But in fact, we are setting ourselves out of sync with the rest of the universe. He says, that's not a good place to be. Isn't it better to be in that rhythm that God has made this whole world in us to function within? So we take this shortcut, but again, we can't even imagine at times when we're in it, we can't imagine the life that we're losing out on by doing so. So what are the benefits? What is that treasure that we find in Sabbath? Well, one's really obvious. In Sabbath, we get to rest. We get to take a break. You know, God, when he took his people out of Egypt, he said to them, he said, listen, I worked really hard to get you out of slavery and to get you out of this culture and this nation that enslaved themselves to their own pursuits, enslaved themselves to just work and work and work to try and get ahead without me. And I didn't do it so that you could again become enslaved to your desires and your new pursuits, and that you could enslave others to your pursuits. I did it so that you could actually take a break and that you could share that rest with others. So take a break. God says, he says, I command you to take a break, rest. It's a benefit. Two, we get to let others take a break. You know, God said, when you find that you have either servants in your own home, or you may find that there are foreigners, there are people from other cultures, other places, they have other customs that they practice, but they're within this territory that is mine. He says, they take a break too. Everybody gets a break. You share this blessing of being able to rest with other people. Now it ends up that when we take breaks, we're healthier. We do better when we have regular days like this that interject themselves into our stressful, busy schedules, and they disrupt things with things like celebration and reconnection with family and friends and just rest. Our world, it ends up, is healthier. God said, this doesn't just go for you, but every 7 years, I want you to give your land a break. I want you to not plant anything, not plow it up, not harvest anything. I'll take care of your needs. And that was a tough one. That was a tough one to trust God in, because these were people that got their living from their land. They got their food, their sustenance from their land. And God says, no, let it take a break. And you know what? It ends up that land does better when we give it a break every once in a while. When we just let it rest, we let it just lay there and not do anything. It comes back stronger when we plant the year following that. Sabbath, we start seeing, is woven into the world, into the creation, into this universe. And it ends up, when we practice Sabbath, our society is healthier. God told his people to set apart the 50th year as a Sabbath of Sabbaths. So 7 times 7, 49, 50th year, celebrate the Sabbath. In that year, you forgive all debts that are outstanding. You bring people back to the land that maybe their forefathers, foremothers had to sell for whatever reason. But you bring them back and you place them on their land so that they might have another shot at experiencing that blessing, that successful life that God intended them for. So you set the books clean and you give them their land back and you say, okay, here you go. Your family gets to take another shot at this experience of God's blessing. Now, that's really tough, especially if you're one of those who has held this land that you bought really cheap back in the day. Because somebody had gone under and you got this land at a deal and you've been blessed because of it. You had extra land for crops and everything. Now you got to give it back. Or you've been holding on to this debt, just waiting for this person to pay you back, and all of a sudden you have to release it. That's tough. But God says, if you do this, it will cause you to increase, not decrease, because I will be with you because of the way that you treat others and you give them another shot at that blessing that God's called them to. Because, and he wants us to know this, through Sabbath we learn that it is not just about me. It's not just about my success. It's about everybody. It's about sharing that success and sharing that rest. Finally, Jesus and some of the other prophets like Isaiah that was read at the beginning of this message. You know what they said? They said, you know what? And actually, you can work on the Sabbath. Just not for you. You can work on the Sabbath, just not for yourself. If you see an animal that's fallen into a pit, help it out. And if it takes some work to get it out, help it get out of there. If you see someone who is hungry, who's naked, who is without a home, then feed them, clothe them, build a home for them, even on the Sabbath. Jesus, in his ministry, he healed on the Sabbath, and they said, are you supposed to do that? That's work. He said, is it unlawful to do good on the Sabbath? No. God says, you can work, just not for yourself. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes onto God. Get your eyes onto thankfulness. Get your eyes onto others, and make it a rhythm in your life. That's how this world, the universe, is set up. That's how God's heart is set up. So what is Sabbath really about? Sabbath is about learning to be like God. It's learning to be joyful. It's learning to be satisfied at times. It's learning to be generous and compassionate and aware, in step with the universe and with the God who created that universe. These are the characteristics and the patterns. These are the things that we shortcut ourselves out of when we fail to practice, when we fail to observe and learn what it means to guard the Sabbath in our lives. And sometimes we think, well, that's okay. You know, that's okay because I'm doing pretty good without doing that. I'm doing okay, you know, just going ahead and using my time the way that I want to. But I got to tell you, that is childish thinking. That's short-sighted thinking. That's trading eternity and eternal things for what you experience right now. You may be doing fine. You may even be doing well because you have that extra day, but you can't even imagine the life that you're losing out on, the life that God intended for you. That actually is a shortcut that's no shortcut at all. So how do we start practicing Sabbath? I want to give us a few ideas of how to do this. The first is this. If you are able, Friday night through Saturday night, set it apart and think about how you can use that time for what God has asked us to honor God. Now, if you can't do Friday night to Saturday night, yeah, Saturday night to Sunday, go for it. That works. It has, you know, that has the worship already kind of worked into it and that. But in that, think of how you can use that time period to honor God. So can a date night on Friday night, can that be a good use of Sabbath? Absolutely. How about a family time, you know, where we just get everybody together and have a game night together? Is that a good way to use Sabbath? Absolutely. You know, our daughter and son-in-law, they have friends over, or they'll have cousins over, they'll have they'll have people over on Friday night and for their Sabbath dinner, their Sabbath night. And it'll just be a time of a meal and sharing and just hanging out. They'll share communion together. They'll play games. They'll just kind of rest and enjoy these relationships, these gifts that God has given to them. It's casual. It's rest. Second, though, make sure that you're always looking forward to that next day, the day that follows, and saying, how can I use that day to help others and not just help myself? How can I use Saturday to maybe reach out and help others, or to rest, to recuperate from a hard week, instead of just mowing my lawn, instead of just working in my garden to get my vegetables for myself? Because that's where we start aligning our heart with God's heart. That's where we start discovering the treasure that He meant for us to find in this thing called Sabbath. So use that Friday evening to transition out of your week, right? Out of your work week. Use it to kind of start decompressing and start transitioning into the rest of God. Prepare your heart and your mind for that following Saturday. But then use that Saturday as a day to rest, to recoup, or to help out others, share with others, or to connect with others. That's what God intended it for. And disrupt that schedule that you normally take. The final thing is this. Don't be legalistic about it. Don't feel like you're somehow letting God down if you can't take off a weekend or you miss a Sabbath. This is a rhythm to get into, and it may be a hard one to get into given your schedule, the way that you've been living life for years. Start working into taking this time and experiencing, understanding this rest. Don't get legalistic though. Don't shoot yourself down because I can't make Friday night to Saturday night work. Keep Saturday to Sunday. Just continue to use that normal rhythm of worship on Sunday, or find a 24-hour stretch that works for you. But try to use the evening before to prepare for that next day so that you can truly invest in and engage in reflecting God's heart in the way that you rest, in the way that you connect with other people, and the way that you share with those who maybe need or have a need, or in some way that can lift them up and share rest that God intends with them. That is Sabbath. Now, some of you might say, well, yeah, but isn't Sunday the Sabbath? If you don't tell some people that the Sunday is the Sabbath, they're going to quit going to church. You've just given them an excuse not to even show up on Sunday then. No, I don't think I have. You know, I've talked about this before. God's the one who gave us the whole weekend. Do we get that? Nobody had a day off until God told his people, everybody gets a day off on Saturday. Nobody had a day that everybody got off. Till God said, everybody rest. Everybody gets to share the rest on Saturday. I command it. And then nobody had a second day off until Jesus rose from the dead. Then they started thinking, you know, we ought to take this day off really to celebrate this new life we've been called into. It's not so much the first day of our work week as it really is almost like an eighth day that God's brought us into a new world and a new life that we get to celebrate together. That's where the weekend came from. God gave us Saturday when he said, I command you to rest. And he gave us Sunday when he said, I command you to walk into new life and to enjoy my gifts forever. That's our weekend. God gave that to us. Who is going to, if we're those who are trying to work our way and learn how to live into the rhythms of God and into the rhythms of his heart in this universe, this world he made, who would ever abandon any of that? Saturday night, Sabbath, or Sunday, who would abandon that? So let's not be those. Let's not be those who try to take the gift and try to use it for ourselves. Let's not be those who end up shortchanging ourselves by thinking childishly instead of trusting in a childlike way. Let's not be those who try to shortcut our way into God's kingdom. He tried to shortcut our way into his blessing. Let's try to learn Sabbath. Let's learn about the rhythms of God's heart in this universe that reflect that heart. Let's learn about the rest that he has called us into. And I want to promise you something too. If you will invest in that rhythm, I can promise you that you will find that spiritual health, that satisfaction, that contentment that you have been searching for, that your heart longs for. And how can I promise that? Because it's the promise of God. It is the promise of Sabbath. Father, I thank you for your promises. We thank you for the blessings that surround us, that you pour out on us, even when we don't. When we try to shortcut things, and you still bless us. You target us with your blessing. But you do have those things that you reserve, that you say, listen, you're going to have to grow into this one. You're going to have to change something in order to live into this one. And Sabbath is one of those things. Teach us how to rest in the rest, in the gift of rest that you've given us. That you've given us in this universe, in the one day out of seven, but also that rest that you've given us in Christ. That broader, deeper rest that we've been brought into in our whole lives. A lifetime of rest, of being able to just not take up all those burdens, not have to carry that stress or those struggles alone on our own as if we were without God and without hope in this universe. Instead, you said, no, enter into the rest of knowing me and of knowing your heart. But Father, let our lives reflect that heart. Let our lives reflect that wisdom, that pattern, that rhythm that you have created into all things. Let us become a part of this universe that constantly calls forth and calls out your glory and makes you known and your love and your grace and your greatness known to those who are around us. Father, reflect your life in us and through us in the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, for your glory, Father. Amen.